A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
I'm Rob Cesternino, and we're back to talk about all of the best internet stories for the week of May 3rd, 2016, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, that's right. The actual factual news is here with our actual factual news team. Here they are with us, as always, is my great friend. Talked to him on the Survivor podcast this Thursday. It was a smash success, the great Tyson Apostle.
Woo!
Tyson, how are you?
Well-received podcast?
Well-received, as always. Rave reviews. Good. For Tyson, as always, 5-star reviews across the board. And then also with us, great. As always, as well, the eye in the sky, the great Danny Bryson.
Boosh. I tried to find your guys' podcast. I spent like 10 minutes looking for it, and then I just gave up.
Where were you looking
for it? RobHasAWebsite.com.
No, that's not where I was looking for it. I was on his Twitter, hoping that he would mention it, and he then did. I could go to it.
Yeah.
I know, but I couldn't find it because Rob tweets so much, it kind of got buried.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and your podcast subscription wasn't the easiest place to go look for it?
No. It was a last minute decision while I was sitting in the woods.
What? Wait, what?
I was sitting by myself in Zion's, and I was just sitting there kind of bored. And I'm like, I should look up their podcast, so I'll have something to do while I'm sitting here in the woods. And I spent like 5 minutes. I had really slow internet connection and then just gave up.
Did you say you were sitting in the woods in silence?
In Zion's
National Park.
Oh.
So I tried. Does that count for anything?
I mean, not according to downloads or anything like that.
Yeah. But as friends, that does count.
Yes.
When Rob introduced me as his close friend, I was hoping it was me and not Danny because he could have gone either direction with that.
That would have been awkward. That would have been weird.
It could have gone either way. It could have gone either way. But
Rob's wife hasn't sanctioned our friendship yet, so
yeah.
I don't know where we are.
After Reno.
Yeah, maybe let me give her a quiz of 5 questions about Danny and see what she says. I don't know what I think she has like really no clue about what goes on up here. I think she really knows almost, I'm always surprised if she knows anything about what's actually happening on the podcast.
Hmm.
It's impressive.
Shows very little interest in your hobbies.
No.
Or work.
Very little interest. All right. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about all of the big news stories of the week. And I really have to commend the listeners of this podcast who really have been just killing it in terms of what they've been submitting. And really, the old adage is true. Garbage in, garbage out. And the inverse is also true because you guys have been sending us great stories. I think we have a great show here to talk about. Tips at newsaf.news is our tip line, and you guys have been delivering.
Hell yeah, you have been.
Yes.
Dude. Yes.
So it makes our job so much easier and better.
Great job by the listeners. Great job by our intern, Lita, who really takes everything and helps us come up with an order and a rundown and everything. So she does a great job as well. So let's get into it because there's a big story that everybody has been talking about. You know, everybody loves Starbucks we've talked many times how Danny and Tyson ride their bikes to Starbucks, stop there, have a drink. And we've talked about the actual size of the beverages, whether they are filling them up to the top. Well, there's a new lawsuit going on. A Chicago man is now suing Starbucks for $5 million, saying the company is using too much ice in its iced beverages. So, first off, has this bothered you guys before? How much ice is in the Starbucks iced beverages? That they're claiming that in a 20-ounce advertised beverage, there's only about 14 ounces of liquid in there. Tyson, does this bother you?
Well, as a child, my parents taught me to always order soda with no ice because you get more soda.
Mm-hmm.
But now as an adult, I realize that the ice is the healthiest part of a soda. And so I let them just go wild with the ice.
Extra
knowing
ice.
That extra ice. Yeah, I ordered an extra ice drink yesterday just based on that fact. So a lot of people don't know this, or maybe they do, that ice is actually a solid liquid and therefore is, in my opinion, one of the ingredients of the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it does. If they're obviously like freezing the entire glass of water and then just topping it off with a little iced beverage, that's probably a no-no. But putting a whole handful of ice in there seems normal to me.
Yeah.
I might sue someone for not putting in enough ice.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a lawsuit I might be interested in. Because I remember Tyson and I lived in Europe together, and they don't give you ice there.
Hmm.
Not so in every your beverages. Time
they give just like a glass filled with Coke, which means that it just warms up that much faster. And maybe, and this is even worse than no ice, they'll put one or two cubes that bump into your lips and then they're gone.
Yeah.
So I would sue someone for not putting in enough ice because I'm an ice guy.
Yeah. You are an ice guy.
So. I am. I am a very ice guy.
You're
and
really
I
ice
love
guy.
Eating the ice. As far as I'm concerned, the ice is the snack after the drink. You chew on that ice.
Yeah. So yeah. Is I'm an ice guy the hashtag for the week?
Yeah, it's too early to say.
I don't know. It's okay. The front runner right now. Yeah, I actually misspoke before that I said that the drink is supposed to have 20 ounces. It's actually supposed to be 24 fluid ounces, but only includes 14 ounces of the actual liquid, with the rest being accounted for by the ice. Starbucks is saying that actually people are supposed to know that an ice drink includes the ice and they are not at fault in any way for this. Danny, could you explain how this works? So a man is suing Starbucks for $5 million. Like, if this went in his favor, does he get the $5 million or is it go into some sort of a pool where everybody, whoever goes to Starbucks, is getting part of that money back?
I think if you're this guy, you should be watching how the lawsuit with the 11-inch sub is going in Subway, because it's very similar. You know, what you're getting as a consumer is not what they're advertising on the board. So before I spent all the legal fees and took this to court, I might sit back and watch and see what happens to Subway.
Yeah.
And then if they win, maybe decide, I'm going to move forward with this lawsuit. Because as it stands right now, I don't think that Starbucks is covering anything up, especially when ice is mentioned in the title of the drink, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yeah, ice is obviously – no other drink has ice in the title. You don't order Ice Coke or Ice Sprite, but this drink actually has ice in the title, which probably is a good indication that ice is a major part of that beverage.
Now, are you
able? I don't think he's got a case.
Are you able to order, say, could I get the pomegranate iced tea ice on the side? Could you order that? And if you did order that, what would you get?
If you ordered ice on the side, it might be risky. Because
would they fill up the 24-ounce container with just liquid and then give you a side of ice, Tyson?
Here's how you do it. Oh, I'd like my ice beverage without ice, please. And then when they're like, Tryson, ice beverage with no ice for Tryson. And you take it and you're like, oh, can I get a cup of ice with that? You do it afterwards.
Because
If you do it together, it's suspicious and they'll still chintz you a little bit on the fluid, I think.
Yeah. So if
they're going to charge you for that cup of ice, though.
You think?
It's going to be like $5.
Well, then you
ice.
Just go to McDonald's and they'll give you a free cup of ice in whatever size cup you want.
A courtesy cup, I believe. If you ordered the drink without ice, would they fill it to the top? I think that's the test.
No, I don't think they'd fill it all the way to the top. I think they'd fill it pretty. You'd get extra. I think they'd fill it. They'd fill it somewhere in between.
Hmm.
No, I think they'd take it to the nearly to the top.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well,
I think we need to send one of our listeners out to do this experiment and tell us that. So one of our listeners this week, hopefully, can let us know. They need to go into a Starbucks, order an iced drink without any ice, hold the ice, and then send us a picture of how high up does Starbucks fill the drink with the liquid.
Fine.
So is this guy claiming he deserves $5 million for pain and suffering? or has he spent $5 million on these beverages and he wants to, you know,
regain
He's recouping because the ice is taking up most of the beverage. How is he justifying the emotional distress?
Of course.
Of course. Emotional distress is a major part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
I'm just wondering, how can he ask for that much?
Well,
because
he probably would have gotten diabetes earlier, which would have put him on some type of, I don't know.
I feel like
Starbucks is kind of saving his life by... I'm sorry. I have a friend who has diabetes, so like I can, you know.
No, you can't.
Oh.
Yo, just an update on that news story that we talked about a couple of weeks ago where somebody went into Starbucks and they ordered like some sort of very sugary drink and then they got on the label, instead of Tricin, they wrote, diabetes, here I come. And we wondered, because then the person claimed to have had relatives with diabetes, and we said, okay, is that actual factual or actual craptual? Somebody did tweet me and say they know that guy, and his relatives do have diabetes.
He has two sisters.
Okay, two sisters, right?
With diabetes.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what the word was. But maybe this guy's life has been spared because he's been getting less sugary beverage in his ice... Frappa mocha lattes or whatever he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that even a drink?
Well, that's actually a mixed blended drink. I don't even think that that's what we're talking about here. That I think that that's sort of been spared from this lawsuit. We're not talking about a drink that you put into a blender with ice. Nobody's complaining. Ice maybe that's a so lawsuit. Tyson, you should get on that. How much ice are you
putting
in that?
I don't want ice in my blended drinks. That's an empty filler. It's like with McDonald's and the sawdust in the hamburger patties.
Yeah.
Look, you need ice in a cold drink. Mm. You need ice in the blended drinks. They keep it cold. Otherwise, what's the point of drinking?
Yeah.
Might as well drink from a tepid pool of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
there's no benefit to drinking from a faucet.
This is the first world. We can make ice, and we don't have to go up to Antarctica and put it into a ship and bring it down here. We have machines that make this ice, and we should have ice in our beverages. That's something I strongly believe. And you can never have too much.
Now, if you get a pomegranate lemonade from Starbucks, where is that beverage? Is it in some sort of a refrigerator before you order it? Is it just like sitting on the counter and is lukewarm?
See, don't they keep them kind of in a chilled little glass container?
Hmm. You would think right?
Lita says it's in a pitcher.
It's in a pitcher. It's just on the counter. It's room temperature at the time that you're ordering it.
Or maybe
so gross.
No, it could also be a refrigerated pitcher or something. I don't know, man. I feel like if we figured out the entire business model of Starbucks, we could start our own. And those are secrets they're not willing to let people know.
Yeah. So we'll see if we'll get to the bottom of this. So do you think that ultimately, Tyson, that a lawsuit like this is in the public interest? Does it keep Starbucks honest and accountable, or do you think that this is just really a bad sign for our society that people are able to sue Starbucks for $5 million because there's too much ice in the drinks?
Well, I mean, first of all, we probably don't have the entire mindset of the man suing.
Mm-hmm.
I think
he might be mentally ill.
Yeah, or no, like he might be mentally ill, or maybe he had a bad experience at Starbucks with the ice, and maybe we didn't see the drink that he actually got. I'm trying to, you know, play both sides here a little bit. But I think it is, people have been suing for ridiculous stuff since before I was born.
Yeah.
So I don't think it has changed at all. I do think that it will help Starbucks, because I'm sure... Like you going to Starbucks that morning, they're like, hey, we're getting sued for putting too much ice in the ice beverages. So make sure to just put the exact amount that we trained you to put in there and don't go overboard with that because people are eyeballing us now.
Yeah. So just a couple of updates. This is from the Huffington Post version of that story. So the person who is putting this lawsuit together is actually a woman. Her name is Stacy Pincus. And her intent is to represent everyone who ever purchased a cold drink from the coffee chain over the last 10 years. So,
wow.
She is really going out there for everybody to try to, I guess, have this pool of money where I don't know how you prove necessarily that you were victimized by Starbucks over this time, but this is really some sort of a big plan to get everybody made whole.
Oh, so she's kind of like a Robin Hood.
I wouldn't say that she's necessarily trying to rob from the rich, but she is sort of like a modern day sort of Ralph Nader.
Okay. Like a Ralph Nader.
Yes. Trying to like really keep everybody honest over at Starbucks.
So it's a class action. Can anybody in this group get in on that? Has anyone ever had this beverage?
I think if you had
get in on it,
ice beverage, yeah.
I think after she wins the $5 million, you go to her and are like, "Hey, yo, I also had ice in my yeah. iced beverage."
And she opens and she buys up her you a purse and gives you a $1 bill.
Or yeah, or buys right? you a drink.
Yeah,
that's so nice of her.
Okay, so we'll
to be doing this for everybody.
We'll see ultimately so nice. What happens, and if Starbucks is if like, are people when they hear this lawsuit. Have you found that people are saying like, yeah, you know, that's right. There is too much ice in the drinks. We're paying too much.
No. I don't really, I'm not a frequenter of Starbucks. So like, that's not been an issue for me.
Danny?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't talk to a lot of people, so yeah. I wouldn't know. But I would say that the reaction just from all the articles I've seen popping up have kind of been one of like, oh, here we go again. Someone's suing for something ridiculous because this isn't a new problem. I mean, a ton of ice in a Starbucks cup, that's like an iconic image of Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's got no chance. I'm going to bet $5 million that she's got no chance.
Ooh, wow.
Wow. That's a big bet. Tyson, should the amount of ice in the drink correlate to the temperature outside? If it's not that hot of a day, should they be giving you less ice?
I feel like that would be really going above and beyond what the, you know, the education of the employees as well.
Oh, don't knock the baristas.
Their pay grade. Okay. It's above their pay grade. How's that?
Yeah, they're not paid enough to monitor the temperature outside yeah. and then have it correlate with the amount of ice. I mean, they don't get paid that much. We shouldn't ask that much of them.
I feel like yeah. they do okay at Starbucks.
Yeah, I think they do fine, and they seem to be nice people. So I think... I mean, I think you coming directly from outside would be a better gauge as to how much ice you could put in your drink and be like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe go a little soft on the ice today or top that thing off with ice and then just a little dribble of liquid, whatever.
Mm.
I feel like you can really make it your own if you really communicated with the baristas.
Right. So you should come in and say, because people are, can I get soy, half calf, no whip? Shouldn't the ice preference also be part of that drink order?
I'm sure sometimes it is.
Yeah.
The thing is, this drink has been around for a long time. If people wanted it gone, they would have spoken with their wallets. It'd be a beverage that declined in sales and eventually was replaced or amended. But people obviously love a lot of ice. I think there's a lot of people like me, ice lovers,
mm-hmm.
and that this person bringing forward the lawsuit, they're in the minority.
Yeah. Well, it's for me, this does hit close to home because my wife, I mean, this is my sex dust of my marriage that my wife is just going to, just goes Ooh. To Starbucks because she's bored during the day. There's nothing to do. Comes home with like some $4 pomegranate iced tea that is like, well, why are you doing that? Why do you have to go to Starbucks? Don't we have drinks here?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, well, I've
Look at how much
do.
Ice they put in that thing.
Right.
You're really not getting your bang for your buck with all the ice.
Yeah, so I'll be in line for a big chunk of this settlement if it comes through, so I'll keep my fingers crossed. All right, let's talk about another food-related story this week, another one that's really been making headlines. So there is a pizzeria in Brooklyn which has taken an environmental step to cut down on the amount of waste from pizza boxes. They have made a new pizza box which is much more environmentally friendly. It is a pizza box made of pizza. It costs $40. It's a Sicilian pie. I watched a video about this where it is a Sicilian pizza on the bottom, which has a crust, which is foldable and closes down. And then there is another pizza inside the pizza box, runs for about $40. Danny, is this something that you might be interested in bringing home to your family, a pizza box pizza?
I'm sorry, I couldn't listen to you because I opened up a webpage that just started playing a video. If there was a lawsuit we could start where we sue web pages that just play videos without my consent, that I would be interested in.
You know,
in.
You're right. Not to get too far off of the pizza box pizza story, but in terms of like doing the research for this show, we go to a lot of these news sites and more there is a video that just starts playing when you go reading any of the story. And I say probably about 75% of the time, the video which starts playing has nothing to do with the story. It's like maybe related, like in the most, in the loosest sense of this.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this. When someone sent this in as a tip, and at first I thought it was News AF, right? It sounded too good to be
actual
true.
Actual craptual, you mean?
Actual crap. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
News
actual
AC. Craptual.
AC.
And so I was very pleased when I saw it popping up in multiple locations, because I think this is a great idea. But the question is, does the guy, the pizza guy, does he manhandle your pizzas, put them on the seat of his car? I mean, that's disgusting.
Okay.
If the pizzas are touching his car in his hands in the countertop,
you can't, and then you can't eat the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then it's a waste.
All right. So I did watch a video about this. And so that if you ordered this as a delivery, it comes in aluminum foil. So they wrap it in foil and then deliver it to you. So it's actually not quite the box, but it is replacing the paper box. But have you robbed Peter to pay Paul? Is the aluminum foil that is being used? Because the paper that the box is made of is at least biodegradable. I'm not sure. Is the aluminum foil then being recycled, Tyson?
I think that depends on the recipient of the pizza. But, I feel like the cardboard is the way to go.
Hmm.
This is ridiculous.
We need an environmentalist to tell us which is worse, the aluminum foil or the paper cardboard pizza box, which is leaving the bigger footprint on the environment.
Without knowing very much about how anything works in the environment, I'm going to say the aluminum foil. And the reason is you can always plant more trees, it seems like, to create the pulp necessary to make the cardboard. But you can only pull so much aluminum out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying one is renewable and one is not.
One is somewhat renewable. Plus, this is just one of these stupid stories where people are making outrageous claims about their product in order to get attention, and then when you look into it, you're like, oh, so it's not really a box. And if you can, it's only a box if you eat it there, in which case there would be no box. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like one of these attention-getting ideas that is a little bit of a stretch when it comes to the truth.
The owner of the pizzeria who made this, his name is Sean, and he said that there are people that order a pizza in a box and they sit there in the restaurant, and it bummed him out that people were then throwing out that box, which barely got used. Maybe the move is some sort of a reusable pizza box where it's like where you go to the, you have like a canvas bag to go to the grocery store. Tyson, would that work? A box that could be reused for pizza?
I like
pizza.
That.
Yeah, but you'd have to have a couple, because like if you order pizza, you'd have to give them some bags or some reusable pizza boxes.
Bring your own box.
You new one, so you're on a rotation.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like you keep a box, you give it back when they drop it off. I think that's a solid idea.
Yeah, how about when the Domino's guy comes to your house and brings you a pizza, he takes back the old boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sits there and watches you finish the pizza.
He's like, yeah, and you just need the box back.
Yeah.
And by the way, the solution to people using a box in your restaurant is, are you eating this here? Yes. Okay, well then no box.
Well, the customer's always right. If they want a box, I feel like you have to give them the box.
Not at Starbucks. It sounds like customer has no say. Apparently, all these lawsuits.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know if you are. That's why we're sending somebody out there. If you're asking for no ice in a drink, let's see if they'll say, if they'll give you a ice drink with no ice.
Why don't they make their pizza boxes out of ice so they just melt and disappear?
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, that is pretty good. That's very smart. I like that idea.
It seems like the pizza wouldn't be hot, but that's fine. Cold pizza's
that's
good,
fine.
Too.
People are okay
people
with cold
pizza. People have toasters.
Pizza.
Sure. So
toasters
or frying pans.
That's the worst way to reheat your pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of the pizza box pizza, I'm not actually sure how many people are going to be eating the entire box, because yes, while the bottom part is a delicious Sicilian pizza, the top part is just a big like wall of crust. So I don't know how many people are going to be just, breaking up this and, 2x3 foot sheet of crust and divvying it out. Like, who's eating that at your house?
I'm eating that.
You're just eating like a big flat sheet of crust, Danny?
Okay, first of all, it's very close in, it's very closely related to like garlic bread, but then you just get some marinara, you heat that up, and now you're dipping it, maybe some ranch sauce, and then before you know it, you're 400 pounds. But I could see myself eating that because I like the crust. I'm a crust guy.
400 pounds and the star of your own TV show.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The dream. The American dream.
I don't know.
That is the American dream.
That's the part to me that I feel like I'm still a little concerned about is who's going to eat the crust. Or if we're just throwing away a big, if you don't have a Danny at your house and you're just throwing away that big top half of crust.
If that food came to my house and I wasn't here, all the crust would be binned. And that's the problem is that now you've maybe eliminated environmental waste, but now you're dealing with food waste, which is just as big a problem as environmental waste. Okay.
So should they send a homeless person to your house after you order the pizza box pizza?
30 minutes.
And then
30 minutes after.
Right. The homeless person. I think this is actually a really good idea. So
it's synced up with the app. So it knows when the pizza's delivered. And then the homeless man gets a notification to arrive 30 minutes after your pizza gets delivered. So you could even have the pizza box out so that the homeless man doesn't even have to come in and eat. Or if you're feeling Christ-like, you invite him in, let him eat the pizza box while he enjoys some Netflix, and then send him on his way or put him in the guest room. So, there's a lot of ways to go with it.
The homeless guy's got an iPhone.
The homeless guy, the homeless people, look, everybody has an iPhone, even if you're homeless. And so then I think that this might be the solution to a much bigger problem with hunger in this country, that shouldn't every homeless person be matched up with one house, and then any food that you're throwing away, then just like the homeless person comes to your house once a day, and then it's like, or you have like a bin where all your food for the homeless person goes. And then instead of throwing out the food, you just are matched up with, like, wouldn't you think there's one homeless person for every household in the country?
Could we make it like an Uber for homeless people so we could pick the homeless person coming to our house?
And then rank them?
Oh, this guy's got a 4-star rating. Mm-hmm. He's got great manners.
Yeah.
Because that would probably be more appealing than sending someone who's mentally ill and homeless to my house, which I would not be okay with.
Well, sure. I guess you can sort of like rate and rank the homeless people that you get matched up with. I think that would be fine. And I think that wouldn't everybody be talking about how great their homeless person is. They're like, oh, well, we left out this for the homeless guy.
They can rank you, too. They can rank you, too, Danny.
Yes.
It's not a one-sided thing. Maybe the homeless people don't want anything to do with your house.
Yeah, no, that's true. Maybe we could take that People's app and we could kind of change it and turn it into what we're discussing here right now. Mm-hmm. We're solving environmental issues, homeless issues, food waste issues. It just seems like we're hitting on a lot of hot topics.
Yeah, now Marnie in the chat.
Can we start a nonprofit?
Yes, I think we should. Marnie says that I've tried to feed many in my city. They don't want food. Well, hey, but this is better because this is for the people who do want food. That they come by, and then whatever is left over, then they get it.
Marnie, have you tried feeding them beer and drugs?
Yes.
Marnie's got a good point, though. I've only ever tried to help a homeless person once because I'm not a good person.
Yes. What did you try to do?
We got them food, and they took it, but they were not very happy with it.
What were they saying? Like, oh, this is what you give me?
Yeah, they're like, okay. And then I have heard, I think my brother-in-law actually recently told me a story where he offered to buy a guy a meal, a homeless guy, and he said no.
Okay.
He didn't want a meal.
So you're finding the homeless people who are out there looking for
they're
food.
They're on the app. They're on the app.
Right. They're on the app.
Because they want food.
They're on the app. And I don't know, I'm sure we could figure out some sort of like network for people who aren't on the app. We'll see. Marnie is saying she tried to give this homeless person a tri-tip sandwich and he complained.
Whoa.
Well, what was the complaint?
Vegetarian homeless. Even a vegetarian homeless person's not going to eat a tri-tip sandwich.
Yeah, too veiny? Is that the problem? too much fat?
I thought, what's wrong with a tri-tip sandwich?
It sounds delicious. But here's the thing. There are some homeless people who, they would prefer money, or maybe they already got a meal.
Sure.
But there's lots of reasons.
We're not talking to those people. That's a different app where you give your extra money to homeless people and they come by.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
That's a different app.
Yes. So if people who have extra money to give to the homeless people. This is for if you're going to be wasting this food, because there's so many things. Is anybody going to eat this here? Does anybody want this? Okay. I wish there was a homeless person to give the food to.
Okay, let's start a GoFundMe or Kickstarter page for
yes.
this app.
Marnie is saying that the homeless person was worried that it might be greasy. It was delicious, and even though he had a sign that said he was hungry. So, okay. Well, this is literal case where beggars cannot be choosers. That is really, I firmly do believe that.
The thing on the app is that you can even put like what meal you're having.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, we just ordered Domino's and there's definitely going to be some extra slices.
Yes. And you don't want like a stampede. Then after that one person, like I have extra for
Except
one or two people. And then it disappears. It's not like then you get like a whole line of people like coming to your house. It's like, it's gone. And only those people get the address.
Correct.
It's like sort of like, oh, somebody is having Domino's in Park City and then it's gone. And then it's like, oh, okay. Well, I never got the address.
See, we're on the same page here, guys. We're all on the same page.
I think this is pretty good.
What's the app going to be called?
Let's see. It's food. It's for people who are in need. People who are hungry. Extra food.
Yep.
Nothing's coming to mind.
Okay, we'll keep
brainstorm
going,
later.
All right, let me just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at the AeroCart by Works, because Works has reinvented lifting and hauling with the new Works AeroCart. The AeroCart 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier from Works. Heavy loads are easy to lift and haul. Just imagine if you had some sort of a pizza delivery business, you could be carrying all of your pizzas in a box, a pizza box, you could be carrying, probably easily over a dozen pizzas anywhere you wanted to go with an AeroCart by Works. It's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. The patented turbo lift technology makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17 pounds. And with two oversized wheels, even awkward loads stay balanced so you never strain your back. There's all sorts of clips of people lifting heavy things like bags of topsoil, gravel, and even refrigerators without any help. You can move it all, lift it all, and haul it all with the new Works AeroCart at Works.com. Go to AeroCart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout, and receive free shipping and 10% off. That's AeroCart.com, AeroCart.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. All right. So let's talk another story. And this is, we talk a lot about Snapchat on this show. We were talking about it in the pre-show also, whether or not Danny is on Snapchat. But there's a couple in Georgia who were in a car accident, and they were with a woman who was using the Snapchat filter that she crashed into them. She was trying to drive 100 miles an hour so she could snap a picture of her on Snapchat with the mile per hour filter. And so now Snapchat is in hot water for having this and is part of a lawsuit. Now, Tyson, I know that you are on Snapchat a lot. I know Rachel is a big snapper and with what everything that she's snapping on there. Is Snapchat, should they be liable for this?
Well, I think you're presumptuous in saying they're in hot water. I don't think they should be liable for this, but they may, just to avoid any further complications, remove that filter from the app.
Yeah, should they just take it down?
Snapchat in general, yes, but that should have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, is it more harm than good?
No, I love her commitment to being honest, though. She's like, okay, I'm not going to exaggerate the speed I'm going. I'm actually going to match it because I don't want to be dishonest.
Yeah. Tyson, did you say they actually did get rid of it?
No.
Oh, they have not got rid of it.
I don't know that they have. I said they should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they shouldn't, because it doesn't matter. But it's like one of those things where we have to protect everyone from their stupidity until the country isn't free anymore.
Yeah, it says that she suffered brain damage, but doesn't say if she suffered it because of the accident or if it was something that occurred before.
Was she currently brain damaged when she was driving? The funny thing is, too, she still Snapchatted herself in the ambulance as she was getting taken to the hospital for brain damage.
Yes, that she did. She suffered brain damage in the accident, but she was still able to snap a selfie on the gurney in the ambulance.
It's good to know that your brain, when heavily damaged, can actually still Snapchat. That's not, you know, we should look into that to see what part of the brain Snapchats.
Yeah, it's so ingrained in her. It's just muscle memory at this point. It's actually nothing coming from her brain. It's just her body is just like, bleh.
Yeah.
And she what's funny is that she's suing the platform she used to post the picture that said lucky to be alive.
Oh, she's suing also? I thought just the people that were getting hit by the car.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, McGee and Maynard. Yeah,
Got McGee and Maynard.
I mean, those are the two different the groups involved.
Yes.
Oh.
I kind of got them mixed up.
Yeah. So, yeah, Wentworth and Karen Maynard are the people that were hit by the woman in the car.
So, yeah, she's lucky to be alive.
She's lucky to be alive.
She is lucky. But
Danny, I know you do a lot of different, you know, athletic things. So do you feel like that? Is it a good idea to have this filter on the Snapchat? Because I feel like that, like, if you're, what's your top speed on bike racing? Aren't you tempted to say when you're going like 30 miles an hour on a bicycle to say, oh, I better snap this?
You want to hear the fastest I've been on a bicycle, Rob?
How fast?
70 miles an hour.
70 miles an hour? Did you snap that? I don't believe you.
You should have snapped that, Tyson.
That was before Snapchat was invented.
Then we have no way to verify without a Snapchat.
I'm sure I could go up in the hills right now and get going 55.
Yeah. Could you snap
it? Just go down Sundance.
Maybe.
It would be terrifying to do because in order to go that fast on a bike, you have to have a pretty steep road. Probably a windy mountain road.
Yeah, and be tucked pretty
good. But, you know, it would be worth it because people probably think you were cool. Snapchat, a 70. How fast was it, Tyson? 72?
70
miles an hour.
About 70. It was like 115-ish kilometers per hour.
Do they have kilometers per hour on the Snapchat filter?
I don't know. Maybe it depends on your location.
It should.
Yeah. Geo filters.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a problem, but I think that maybe Snapchat, just for their own sake, should probably just take that down.
Yeah, so
why do we need
that? That's
what
I'm thinking is
going to
happen.
Is anybody
ever
like
using it for the 0 miles per hour?
Yeah,
like if you're sitting on a beach like with a pina colada and you snap the 0 miles per hour, that's like, this guy is chill AF, man.
Maybe it's a safe way of allowing people to say how fast they're going, because if they have the filter, they don't have to write it in by hand. So maybe what they're doing is providing a safer alternative. That's actually them being, you know, a good ethical company.
Yeah. I don't know. Just shut it down. No good is coming from that. No, there's no Snapchat I've ever watched like, whoa, 46 miles an hour. Wow.
That's because you don't own a bullet bike, bro.
I guess not. Shut it down. All right. So this is kind of a wild story. And it starts off sad. There was a couple of good friends just like us. They had a fishing trip all planned together. And one of the men who had a terminal form of cancer was unable to make it to the fishing trip. That he passed away, but his friends were able to still have this man who passed away with them on the trip because they were able to turn his ashes into fishing bait that they were able to use on this trip. And with that special fishing bait, they caught a 180-pound fish, which set records. Tyson, is this how you want to go?
Yes. And also, is this fish the reincarnate of their dead friend? 180 pounds? That's like a full-grown adult man.
Yes.
That's how much I weigh.
Yes. Now,
my question is, when they eat this fish, wouldn't they be
is it cannibalism?
On a very small scale? Yeah, I'm thinking cannibalism.
Are they eating their friend? Is that what you're saying? Because the fish is eating
the
bait.
That's what I'm asking.
And then, I'm not really exactly sure as a person who is, you know, I'm not an advanced fisherman. What they used as the bait, does that just bob in the water? Or is the fish actually eating that? Tyson, do you know?
Sometimes you put the bait on the hook. Mm-hmm. And the fish will grab the hook, and sometimes the bait stays on the hook after you pull the hook out of the mouth of the fish. Sometimes the bait does get devoured in the whole transaction there. But either way, I feel like if you're gutting the fish quickly, you're getting that out of its system before it's really getting into the bloodstream and then becomes part of a cannibalistic ritual that will soon be outlawed in most countries.
Yeah. Now, as to whether or not that the spirit of the deceased friend was now inhabiting the fish, I would say not, because I think that this
It depends on what religion.
Well, it depends on what religion, but even still, I feel like that no matter what you believe, I don't know if there's a, you know, you, there's anything that you believe that you just all of a sudden become a different animal. The 180-pound fish had to have been alive at the same time that the man who passed away was also alive, right?
Yes.
I don't think this is years later that they went on this fishing trip.
What, yeah. Plus, that's a step down in the, you know, in reincarnation.
Well, we don't know how this guy lived.
Yeah, so but we can assume that if he ended up a fish, that he probably didn't live very well,
mm-hmm.
because the next step, I think, is a cow. That's like the pinnacle, right? You become a cow.
Yeah.
And so unless he became a cow, which doesn't look like he became a fish, I think that maybe he didn't live the best life.
Yeah, but if you're an 180-pound fish, you got to be an apex there somewhere.
Yeah, but a 180-pound fish has to have lived for a certain amount of time to get to become 180 pounds. So I think that this has happened all in, you know, the span of a couple of weeks.
Hmm. I think it's a good way to go out, though. He got his friends some entertainment, you know, gave them a story to talk about. It wasn't just a boring funeral with terrible talks. He provided his friends with something above and beyond just a, you know, a eulogy.
Yeah, no, you have.
I like the story.
Yes, you have to feel like that this man who passed away, that somehow he was pulling some strings that was able to help his not fishing line, help his friends catch this record breaking fish.
And is it a record breaking fish?
I believe so. I think that according to this article from the Daily Mail, the world record for a Siamese carp is 134 pounds. But but they stopped listing the weights for these fish because they come from protective waters. So I'm not sure necessarily if this was actually in violation of any rules to catch the 180-pound fish.
And by the way, kudos to the friends for going through with this, because it's hard enough to do something for someone when they're alive, let alone go through all this work for someone after they're dead.
Yeah. Mm.
So, I mean, way to go, guys.
Yeah.
Way to see it through.
Tyson, if anything happened to you, what would you like us to do with your ashes? How could we? What could we do? Could we like turn them into a bicycle that Danny could ride?
Pirate funeral.
A pirate funeral. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, what's a pirate funeral?
Isn't that where you put me on a Viking funeral?
Okay, you want to light the pyre?
Yeah. No, put me on like a little boat, push it out to sea. Shoot flaming arrows at it till you hit it. Douse me in gasoline beforehand, and then just let me. I'll still become fish food probably, but it will be a real spectacle.
I want to be shot into space and then orbit the Earth for a while, and then come down like on fire.
Is your body preserved in space?
Yeah, or your ashes would be into space.
You don't want your ashes.
I want my body.
Your full body just shot without any protection on it, just a naked human body. So.
Every now and then I bump into the space station, hit the windshield and slide across it. Oh, there goes Danny. We'll see him in another 23 days. Yeah. And by the way, they already shoot ashes into space. I think they shot Leonard Nimoy's ashes into orbit. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something they already do. I don't want that. I want my entire body
naked,
all old and bloated, just orbiting
like
the Earth.
Shoot it like out satellite. Of a cannon, or do they like bring it up
however
to the
they
space
gotta
station
get it out
and just like kick it out a hatch door?
Well, I want them to, obviously, the cannon idea, that's an old idea. That's from that movie. But anyway,
we have a cannon that can shoot a corpse into space.
Well, no. What was that movie with Tom Cruise with the big Martian things?
Tom Cruise. War of the Worlds.
Okay, so in War of the Worlds, in the original book, they use cannons to shoot the Martians to this planet. So I'm using, I don't want to use that as an example. Take me up, put me on a Russian rocket, take me up, kick me out of the airlock right before you dock with the space station, and then I'll just be like, oh, look, there's Danny. I could be like a point of interest in orbit.
I think the cannon is better. Like if you could get Cape Canaveral to build some type of cannon that could shoot your naked body without destroying your naked body, your naked corpse, all the way up, because then imagine the video footage of your naked body being launched.
Flipping and like my limbs all going like this, and then slowly I enter peaceful space.
Yeah, we'd have to like, you know, take your naked corpse, or I guess you could be clothed. There's no reason why you'd have to be naked.
No, I'm naked. And maybe
yeah, we like, want him naked.
Put you in some sort of a container, like some sort of like cannonball, and then launch that into space. Because I just don't think that the corpse projects.
Like a giant vitamin capsule.
Yeah, it could dissolve.
And then it disintegrates when it hits the atmosphere of space.
Like stage two separation.
Yeah, it just comes
and
out.
And all of my naked body.
And then you got a naked
all
daddy.
Its gross old person splendor. I think that would be cool because you'd be up there for a long time, perfectly preserved. And kids could look through their telescopes and be like, oh, there goes, you know, Danny.
Yeah. Rob, can I change the way Danny. That I want to... To be remembered when I die?
Yes.
I also want to have my naked body launched into space.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
What?
Let's at least have the same orbit, Tyson.
Yeah. And then maybe one day we'll find each other. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll find each other, and then it'll just be two tangled naked corpses.
Every 72 years, the Danny and Tyson corpse smushed together for a half an hour. And if you go out at the right time with a high-powered telescope, you get to witness this once-in-a-lifetime event.
The smushing.
Yeah.
They call it the smushing. The 45-year smushing.
The smushing. There you go. Every 72 years. So what a way to go. What a way to go. All right. There is apparently a major problem going on with dog waste in Spain. And Madrid has had to recently up its laws to new heights. Now they're mandating that people who don't pick up after their dogs have to serve as a substitute street cleaner for a few days or pay a $1,700 fine. Tyson, do you like this idea?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
I'm fully behind it.
You're fully behind it because you, as a dog owner, this appeals to you?
I don't own a dog. Rachel owns a dog. That's always been my stance on it. I have offered to find that dog a new home many, many times. And I mean, you go out and you just, especially here in frozen places, Rob, you may not be aware of this. But if you go to a park in the spring after dogs have been shitting there all winter long, it really does just smell. Yeah, it's like the great poop thaw of the spring. And it's just like disgusting, like so much poo, and it's so gross. And nobody really picks up after their dog unless other people are watching them do it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing worse than not picking up after your dog is the people who put them in the little baggies
and then leave the little baggies.
Yeah, just leave the bag there. Now you're not only, you know, you're littering and you're still leaving the dog poo.
But why is that worse? Isn't it just easier to get rid of that?
No, because they leave the bags there.
Yeah, but they don't
like
pick
they'll
the
put
bag
it in
up.
A bag. And they never pick up the bag. Then they just leave the bag next to the trail. So now they're littering a plastic bag and they're leaving
the
dog. I
feel like that's not as bad. I feel like that they've at least done the first step to getting rid of the...
Yeah, but now they've got a plastic bag.
Rob, you own a dog and now we know exactly what you do when it poops in public.
Yeah, I put the poop in a plastic bag and then leave the plastic bag exactly where... Just like I'm like a golfer that I'm like picking up my ball, so I'm putting a quarter down so you can take your shot. Right.
Look, my favorite thing is when I'm out running or mountain biking and so I see someone, I watch the dog poo, and then I see the person looking around.
Yeah.
Because as far as they're concerned, if nobody's nearby, they're going to leave that turd. And then they see me, they're like, oh, I was planning on picking this up all
along.
Maybe
they were about to tell an offensive joke.
To their dog. Yeah. They're going to tell a racist joke to their dog. Just making sure. Maybe.
Perhaps that was it.
I love this article because it talks... Okay, I thought I hated dog poo. And I do. I get very upset. But the lengths that some people will go to... In Spain, in the city of Tarragona, I don't know how to say that.
Yes,
close
they
enough.
Plan to use DNA testing to match dog droppings to dogs.
I love it.
They probably don't have enough funding to like solve crimes with DNA testing, but they're like, we have to set aside money for dog DNA testing.
Yeah, what is it about Spain that they're so worked up about this? Because also in Madrid, that in 2013, one of their suburbs also had a sting operation where they were spying on people. And if they didn't pick up the poop after their dog, then the volunteers would then pick up the poop and then mail it back to their owners with a note that says, it's your dog poop. We're returning it to you.
I don't like that idea.
Yeah, you don't?
No.
Why don't you like that idea?
In theory, if you on the surface, it's very good. But all they do is throw that box away. Oh, I got another package from the Dog Poop Incorporated.
Right.
No, initiative. They should put like Amazon tape on it because I get so excited when I get an Amazon package. It's like Christmas morning.
Yeah.
So they should put Amazon it, and then you, oh!
But even still opening it, it's like you're not touching it or anything. If they could somehow make a box where as you touch the box, you get poo all over your hands, that's
a
thing.
That's not going to stop people. The only answer is public shaming. That's it. That they have to like take a photo of you and then put you up on whatever Facebook, social media. Public shaming is the only thing that will stop people.
Okay. Well, I'm all for that, too. You have to have like poo smear on your face for a week.
Yep. Yeah, just get on to public shaming. That's the answer for most of these problems. I guess not exactly the same as public shaming, but I feel like it's some sort of a distant cousin of this. Airlines are having a major problem on flights that have a first class section of it because it seems as though having a first class section of an airplane is causing a number of incidents where people are having quote unquote air rage. Not necessarily that they want to sit there, but for whatever reason, seeing people that have first class seats and you are in coach sparks people into having this air rage. Danny, have you ever been on a flight where you've seen somebody go into an air rage?
No, but I just want to point out, but having to walk by first class increases the chance of air rage by 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you say it. So that what they're saying is if you have to do what they call the walk of shame, which is all the first class is already seated, then they shuffle the poor people through to the cattle car. If you have to do that, then you're more likely to have air rage on your flight. I have seen no air rage, but I once was, while in first class, saw a very amorous couple climbing on top of each other. And it's the closest I've ever come to seeing a fight with the flight attendant because the flight attendant had to keep telling them, you can't be on top of her. Can you please get off of her? And that's probably the closest I've ever come.
Whoa. So you were on the flight, you were in first class, and there was a couple that was trying to just basically engage in sexual congress midair in their seats?
Yes, without any kind of covering up or anything. They were becoming very, very touchy-feely, and he was becoming offended because the stewardess kept coming over, and I thought there was going to be a fight that broke out. And I think everyone in first class wanted to punch this guy in the face, so I think it would have turned out badly for him. It was this close to an air rage incident.
Yeah. Wow. But this is different. This is...
It was Alec Baldwin?
No, it was not.
So this is where the people who are in coach just end up like losing it because of, I guess, the injustice of there being a first class section on the airplane. You're right that I think that there is something to that of they let the people in first class get on and then they parade all the people going into coach into like, okay, look where you're not sitting. Should they have the first class passengers board last, Tyson?
Yeah, I think so. And they should have them completely separate. It's weird because there is that shaming. Like I'll walk through there and be like, I just didn't want to waste my money on this first class ticket, you dick faces. You look at me like I can't afford it. I
sounds
can afford
like Tyson's got air rage right now.
Yeah.
He's not even in an airplane.
I can afford this shit. I just choose not to. And how many of you got upgraded for free because you're on work trips 24/7?
Yeah.
You guys can S my D. And like that's how I feel. Like you walk through it. It really is like they look at you like, I'm so much better than you. Maybe if you work hard enough, one day you could be here. And I'll be like, I never even had to work hard and I could be there. I just am saving my money for like toys and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they say that in this article, the way to get rid of it or at least reduce it is to get rid of the curtain and get rid of the different colored carpets for sections.
Really? The carpets are the problem? Yes.
You should be able to use, you should be able to use either bathroom. But that, the funny thing is if you can use any of the bathrooms, then all the coach passengers would go up and use the first class one just out of spite for the first class.
And they'd be leaving upper deckers. Like,
I wouldn't flush.
Well, yeah, but you can poo in the sink.
Yeah, you can do that. You can. I think that's a federal offense, though.
You know, that's smoking in bathrooms.
Like, smoking seems less dangerous than going to the
bathroom.
Well,
as many commenters in this article pointed out, the way they board a plane right now is probably the least efficient way in the universe to board a plane. Yeah. Not just because you have to walk by first class, but just because the whole system is messed up.
Yeah.
So on top of just the terrible system for boarding a plane, they also have you doing the walk of shame. Mm-hmm. And those two things combined with the tight seats and all the horrible parts of traveling just leads to rage. Mm-hmm. I get that.
Well, if you fly first class, you get to hang out in the first class lounge in the airport. So why not have them board last and leave them in the lounge the longest?
I think that's the right answer, but I think you're going to have too many people that are like, hey, I paid first class. Why don't I get to get on the plane first?
And why do people want to get on the plane so soon? I've never understood that.
Yeah, I wait till the very end. Mm-hmm.
You want to be on, this is a 7-hour flight, and you want to sit on the plane for an extra 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense to me. Why are you in such a rush?
Yeah.
To get your overhead space is the only argument.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
If they don't let anybody from first class get on, then there should be no issue with the overhead space in first class. It's not like people are putting their stuff in first class.
Yeah, and first class, you get a lot of carry-ons. I remember, Rob, don't think any less or more of me for this, but I flew first class home from Europe, and you get, like, I could have checked, like, 4 bags, and I got, like, 4 carry-ons, and there was too much space around my entire seat to even fill up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, like, those guys don't even have an issue with that. That's not an issue. Yeah.
My wife almost had an air rage incident in the last time that we flew.
Wait, Nicole? Yes. Nicole had a rage incident.
Yeah, well, she often has a rage incident. But this was a one at the airport where she tried to board the plane. And, you know, we're traveling. I have small kids. And, you know, I don't know what the actual rule is. But my wife felt like, okay, I have small kids. I should be able to board the airplane at any point. And the woman, they were boarding the first class passengers and then like people that were handicapped onto the plane and whatever. And then, you know, my wife decided it was time that we needed to get on the plane. And the woman said, no, it's not time yet. You're not allowed to get on the plane. And my wife was incensed at this woman that we have small kids. Why aren't we allowed to get on the plane right now?
They usually do allow for the
this woman did not, for whatever
children.
Reason. She said that we had to wait, and then parents with small children was like the fifth thing that they called. Usually they just let you, they don't care.
Let me tell you, as a parent of also a small child, the longer you can keep that kid off of the plane, the better.
Well, that is not, you and Nicole have to disagree on that.
But again, the overhead space is super important to a mom who's got a diaper bag, a stroller, a backpack filled with iPads. You know, it's just like if you get in there and you're like, I've got nowhere to put any of these things I need to have on hand for my kids, it can be a mess.
It's true.
Plus, you want to sit next to your kids. And so if you're on Southwest or something like that, that's why.
Who flies Southwest, man? If you have kids and you're flying Southwest, you're doing it all wrong. Yeah.
Well, Southwest lets families board priority. So, it's a good thing.
Yeah, my wife was ready to fight before we even got on the plane with anybody from the airline at that point. So I don't know what that has to do with this, but it was air rage was happening, certainly. All right. And then one last thing before we jump in and get to Adam. This weekend, in addition to Mother's Day, also this Saturday, May 7th, is World Naked Gardening Day. Danny, do you have any plans for World Naked Gardening Day on the 7th?
I will probably be gardening.
Yes.
But I will be wearing clothes because I live in a place where not wearing clothes would land you in jail. And probably put you on the sex offenders list.
If you were living in a place where it was acceptable, you would garden naked?
Maybe in a Speedo. I'm not saying full naked. There's different levels of nakedness, right?
Yeah.
So you can pop your shirt. You're not going to even pop your shirt here.
I'll be like 1920s naked. I'll have my arms showing. Maybe I'll be wearing a muscle tee.
lifting metal triangles.
Yeah, so I'll be 1920 standards, you know, showing some skin.
Yeah.
I won't be modern day full nude.
So you're going to be wearing some knickerbockers.
Probably.
Yeah. So people are encouraged, of course, to garden as nature intended. And the event is a way to promote both more gardening as well as body positivity and to promote community building through gardening. Tyson, are you going to show up as a bush enthusiast?
I live in a condo.
Okay.
I don't have a yard.
Tyson, you can come.
It doesn't
work
mean
on
I'm not
yard.
A bush enthusiast. What it means is that, I mean, we all love George W. Bush. Is that Rob?
Yeah. All right. So that's coming up this weekend. So please, I hope our listeners, if anybody's participating in World Naked Gardening Day, if they let us know what's going on with that. All right, let's bring in Adam
and see
what it's, of course, World Naked Gardening Day. So I'm sure that even in Australia, people are being involved. All right, here is Adam, and he has a fish story, from what I understand, to talk about. Adam, how are you?
Yes, I do. I'm great. How are you? It's good to be back after after a brief hiatus.
I feel like we haven't talked to you in a month.
Oh, yeah. No, it was like 2 weeks. Was it more?
Where have you been, Adam?
Yeah, it felt long.
I mean, I know, I've been busy doing things and that kind of thing as well. We've been messaging on Facebook as well, Tyson, which I'm really happy about.
Oh. Can you share your conversations with the rest of us, or is
this
private?
Adam,
no,
Adam's
these are
trying out for Survivor in Australia.
Yes.
And he made it through the first round. They contacted him, and then they said, no, thank you. And I said, apply again under an alias, because they'll probably like that you are like real gung-ho about it and show that you really want it. And he's very hesitant to do so. But it's like they already said no, Adam. So why does it matter if you piss him off?
That's the truth. That's the stalker motto, isn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the
never surrender.
So here's the thing. So I told him there's two names he can apply under.
Yes.
Gary Knife.
Yes.
Because it sounds kind of cool, but kind of real. Gary Knife. Or number two, Chaz Lamborghini. Which is a name that I remember from the old TV show Charles in Charge, when he had to give an alias. I think his buddy,
Chaz,
who I think was named Buddy,
yes.
Chaz Lamborghini. So I think if you applied as Chaz Lamborghini and then went on the show as Chaz Lamborghini, wouldn't that be just amazing?
Hmm. What about Survivor McSurvivor Face?
Too cute. Too cute.
No.
Yeah, I don't feel like they'd think that was real, but Chaz Lamborghini could possibly be real.
How about Jonathan Bushmaster?
Yeah, that's a good
In honor of World Gardening Day, sure.
Yeah, in honor
of... Yes.
All right,
I'll read you the story. Look, Tyson, I appreciate the suggestions, but I'm not sure if we can go with those, but we'll see how we do.
Are you going to reapply under an alias, though?
Yes, I'll probably. I don't know.
Just switch your two names around. Just do Rita Adam.
Okay, we'll do that. That's that. That works.
Yeah,
that's still a name.
Yeah,
you're giving up too easily, Adam. Do you not want this?
No, I want this. I want to do better than you. I want to go on my first time and win. So,
okay. Well, you have to get on. That's the first step.
Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly right. So, okay. Look. All right. Anyway, so the Australian government has committed $15 million, about $11.4 million US, of its federal budget to help eradicate the country's carp population.
Okay.
Wow. So, and the way they're going to do this is to introduce a carp-specific herpes virus into Australia's rivers system. Australia is currently in the middle of what Science Minister Christopher Pine reportedly called Carpageddon.
Carpageddon.
Ooh.
There's too many carp. That's the problem.
Yes, that's the problem, Rob. We've got too many carp in our rivers.
Yeah.
And they're causing all problems for our ecosystem. Carp are actually such a pest over here.
Have you guys tried using the ashes of deceased people as bait?
I don't know if the fish, like, I feel like putting ash into the river might cause more problems than the carp, Rob. I don't know if that's really going to fly with
the fish. And you don't think that just throwing herpes into the river wholesale isn't going to cause some problems?
Yeah, how's herpes going to fix this problem?
Well, I highly doubt that anyone's going to be swimming in this river and then trying to have relations with the fish to contract herpes themselves. I imagine the fish herpes is different from human herpes.
That's what they want.
My understanding of it.
So
I'm sure they thought that was swine flu. They're like, oh, give the pigs the flu. And they're like, whoa, actually, we can get this as well.
Yeah.
So, well, was swine flu trying to get rid of pigs?
No, I made that up.
Oh,
okay.
And the bird flu. We had too many birds. Adam, we also have a carp problem here locally.
Yeah,
and
really?
I'm telling you right now that Australia's quest to rid themselves of carp is in vain. Carp are indestructible, dude.
That's why we've got to go to these measures. Who wants herpes? No one wants herpes.
So you think the fish will leave voluntarily because they'll hear about the herpes and be like, I don't want herpes. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that fish has a sore on its lip. Let's get the hell out of here.
Take to the oceans.
Yes, exactly. Take to another ocean away from our rivers. So, I mean, like, I think if you just have a sign that says, warning, carp herpes incoming, that might scare the carp away. And we might not even have to spend, what is it, $15 million.
Yeah,
here's an idea.
Yes.
Can you somehow create a war between the carp and the cane toads? And at least they'll be able to eradicate each other a little bit.
Well, my understanding is the cane toads are actually they're in a different state. So, unless we have to transport the carp and the cane toads, it's going to be very complicated to actually get a war happening between the cane toads and the carp. But I think this could work if we did some mass transportation of either species.
A stupid carp.
Step one, give the carp herpes. Then what happens after that? Once all the carp have herpes, then
do they
what
die
happens?
From herpes?
Okay, so apparently the virus takes around 7 days to have a noticeable impact on the fish, where it will destroy the carp's skin and kidneys. And then after 24 hours after the carp has these symptoms, it will then die.
This sounds like genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you're about to have a real a dead carp problem, which is more visible than a live carp problem. And
a dead herpes carp problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your rivers are going to be destroyed by rotting fish.
Adam, get out of there, buddy.
Get out. Yeah. And can you eat the carp, or then once they have herpes, then you can't eat the carp?
I wouldn't eat them after. There's a lot of Asian cultures do eat carp, and our carp problem, we have had a fishing boat out on the lake where there's a major carp problem that does fish for carp and then ships it to, I believe it's China or Taiwan, where they do create food from the carp.
For homeless people.
Oh my God.
Could we send all the homeless people to Australia to eat the carp?
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just eradicate our own carp problems here?
Okay.
Bob?
I'm fine with that too.
Do you have carp problems besides the state of Utah? Like,
yes,
are there
all
other
over the country. All over the country.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The early settlers introduced them during harsh times because the carp are such a hardy fish that even like during drought and stuff, the carp usually survive.
But they don't like to eat them then?
What?
But that you can't eat them? So what's
you can, but they're not a very good eating fish. So I think back then they ate them, but now people don't eat them very often, except for in cultures where it's still popular.
Okay. All right. So we'll see what happens. All right, Adam, you keep us updated on any animal herpes issues that come up, okay?
Oh, my God. So once the fish dies, you send the dead fish to space.
Right. And then use the ashes as bait. To catch
you don't put too much ice in. You can't put too much ice in when you put the carp into space.
You take all that extra ice from Starbucks, put them in the water, freeze out the fish.
Yes.
Humanely.
Exactly right. We could do that too.
All right.
Circle. Well, all these stories came full circle with this one story.
Yeah. Thank you, Adam. Okay. Bye.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a lovely day.
See you. Bye. Chaz Lamborghini.
Yeah. I would stay away from Gary Knife. I feel like that sounds menacing.
Gary Knight.
Especially when they find out it's a fake alias for a guy they already said no to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Don't you think once they learn that, they'd be like, this guy is worth putting on the show because he was willing to apply under a fake name after he got rejected.
Yeah, as long as that fake name doesn't have the word knife in it.
Like that's, yeah, I feel like I agree with Rob. It's menacing. Gary Knife, no thank you.
Okay, so you think a Chaz Lamborghini? Because he could be heir to the Lamborghini throne.
How about Jonathan Rainbow? That sounds
good. Jonathan Rainbow? What was yours?
Jonathan Bushmaster.
Jonathan Bushmaster sounds like a guy who could win Survivor.
I think
he sounds awesome.
Yeah. Jonathan Bushmaster. That's me. All right. So, Tyson, what about our 5-star reviews of the week? Did we get any since the last show?
Oh, I can't imagine that we didn't.
Yeah. Especially after last week's show. It was very good.
Oh, it was so good. And I feel like this one is as good or better.
If not better. Yes.
All the news you need, 5-star by Hanging 57. Mm-hmm. As a busy college student and avid Survivor podcast listener, I often find it difficult to locate news that is actual as it is factual. Mm-hmm. Thanks to News AF, I now know which corrupt cheese-stealing businesses I can sue to help me pay for school. Rob Tyson and the eye in the sky that likes chocolate and bread, Danny, do a great job of covering the news I'm interested in. Overall, it's better than the Everything Dog, but not quite as good as hamburger with buns made out of pizzas.
Wow.
I love bread. I love bread. I can't.
Fantastic. Well, we get such good reviews on this show. The listeners really do pay attention. Really good.
Yeah, all right. They really do.
I have so many different choices for a hashtag for you for today. So really, this is going to be, sometimes we struggle to come up with it, but this week we have a plethora. All right. We have options are, I'm an ice guy.
I like that one.
Number two.
Because do you get it? It's almost, I am a nice guy.
Yes. Yes. choice number two is the smushing. Okay. Choice number three is the poop thaw.
Okay. The great poop thaw.
Great poop thaw.
Great poop thaw of 05.
Choice number four is 1920s naked. And number five is the great Jonathan Bushmaster.
There's a lot of, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. And Adam also is voting for his own Carpageddon.
I agree with the people in the chat. I like the smushing.
Okay. So that's the S-M-O-O-S-H-I-N-G?
Sure.
Okay. Wasn't sure if it was S-M-U-S-H.
Well, correct spelling doesn't matter in this day and age.
Well, so we want everybody to be on the same page. It doesn't matter.
If
we spell it wrong, it's fine, but everybody should spell it wrong.
The great smushing in orbit.
So how are we spelling it?
Let's go two O's.
Yeah, I think it is two O's. Want.
I think so too.
I want two O's.
There you go. All right. So great show this week. Of course, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, if you want to leave us your own original feedback and star ratings, you can do all that on our iTunes page, which you can get to by searching for News AF or by going to newsaf.news. And of course, our tip line is always open, tips@newsaf.news. If you see News AF breaking, if you see something, say something at tips@newsaf.news. All right. Anything else going on this week, guys?
If you see something, say something.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, in this day and age, of course.
You need to. You could follow Danny on Twitter. He's been busy favoriting tweets all week long.
At
Danny Bryson. Tyson, of course, is on Twitter as well. Instagram, Facebook, at Tyson Apostle. On the verge of one day being verified on Instagram.
Oh, my God. I can't wait for that day.
It's coming. I'm at Rob Cesarino, of course. Looking forward to being live once again with you guys on blab.im next Tuesday at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre, who puts this all together as a podcast. Looking forward to reading your comments. Take care, everybody. Bye.
See ya.